In fact, I was telling Greg I wanted to continue that theme of the ego, and the title of this message is Beyond the Ego. Beyond the Ego. I don't know, I just feel it's so important. To me, the ego is the one thing that can keep you from a functional relationship with God. You know, something can start out as inspiration, and inspiration comes from God. And you grab a hold of it, and before long, you start to develop a certain amount of confidence, and guess what happens? Ego takes over. Ego says, God, I'll take over from here. I can handle it. And when that happens, you cut yourself off from being used by God. You are of no value as far as God being able to use you once the ego takes over. Several things I want to rehearse from last week's message is, one of the things I said is that the ego survives on being right. And just think about that. Just apply that to what, like Greg was saying about the former church. Ego survives. It lives for being right. The definition is an exaggerated sense of your own importance and a feeling of superiority to other people. Just let that sink in. I said last week that people would rather die than admit they're wrong. It's true, you know. It just kills us. I could be wrong about something. Another point was that the ego always sees the personal gain. In other words, what's in it for me? It's not so much about other people. It's about what's in it for me. What's the advantage for me? And I mentioned that, you know, it seems like about 95% of our lives is spent at a what I call an unconscious level. We're sort of on automatic pilot as we go through life. And if you don't believe that, just recently I heard about a diet called the belly fat diet, where you could lose about 20 pounds in 30 days. And all you got to do is something very simple, just cut out sugar. Or keep it down to 25 grams a day. Now, one Coke has 45 grams. A banana has 11 grams. But, you know, and you just do that in about 30 days. About 20 pounds will come off, according to this guy. And it's tough. But so I cut out tea. Boy, that's tough. Sweet tea. I can only imagine what summertime, you know, summertime's trying to cut out sweet tea. It's going to kill me. But I went into Country Cooking to eat, and I said, I'm not going to get tea. I'm going to get water. And I walked in there, sit down. The waitress said, what do you want to drink? I said, sweet tea. I got my drink. I thought, that's not, you know, I wanted water. But it was, this is what I call the 95% automatic pilot, unconscious level that we operate on. How many of you have ever driven a stick shift car, you know? That's what I was reared on, a stick shift. But it's been about 20 years since I've driven a stick shift. And I can still find myself today gearing down my truck every now and then. I'll reach, now there's nothing there, you know. Automatic pilot. And the goal is this five, you know, we live our lives basically at like a 5% conscious level. And the goal is to get this higher, our consciousness, in order to identify the ego in our lives. That's the goal. I also mentioned that ego will often only surrender to confrontation. The reason is the ego flies below the radar. You don't see it. You don't know it. You're totally oblivious to your own ego. And the only way, a lot of times, you can identify if someone comes up to you and says, you sure that's not, you know, this thing you want to do for God? You know, is it inspiration or is it ego? To confront, you know. And hopefully what I'm going to try to help you with is how to confront your own ego. Because it's devastating for that thing to get in the way. Now, I thought, okay, what kind of picture would portray the ego? I'm a very visual person. You know, a picture says more than 1,000 words to me. So I thought, okay, here's a picture. It's sort of like road signs, and that's a good portrayal of ego. You know, myself, I, dear me. Is it me, not you, me and I? That was a song, wasn't it? Or was, maybe it wasn't, I forget. Only me, poor me, you know, I, myself and I. That's a sort of a imagery of ego, what it might look like. Now, if you want to turn to Psalms 3 and verse 5. Psalms 3 and verse 5. And I don't have a lot of scriptures to turn to, but I do have a lot to say today. Psalms 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Now, I look at that and I think, okay, the first part's pretty easy. Proverbs 3 and verse 5.
Proverbs.
What did I say?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
That's the reason you can't find it. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Like I said, Proverbs. Trust in the Lord of all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now, the first part, you know, trust in the Lord. Okay, I got that. But what is this lean not to your own understanding? I mean, those kinds of scriptures really tear me up, you know. It was Ron Dart that said the only understanding he had was his own understanding. And but the key to understanding this, the missing dimension in all of this is identifying the ego. Once you identify the ego, you will clearly see what this means not to lean to your own understanding. You'll be able to discern, is this inspiration coming from God, or is this ego within wanting me to do this? Is it my ego, or is it inspiration? That's the missing element here. So we're going to try to understand this verse. What does it mean not to lean to your own understanding, and how can we discern, you know, the difference? Now, I want to tell you now a little personal story that happened to me. I used to be a part of an organization for about 10 years. I served in that organization for about 10 years. And we were having a minister's conference, and people in the church had mentioned about they wanted a financial report that this little church that I was a part of brought in about $50,000 a year, which was not, it's really not a lot of money. And at the conference, I said, people have asked about a financial report, and I think we ought to have that. And the head of the church said, well, he said, you know, our group takes in about $50,000 a year. And he said, we look like we're really doing a big thing. He said, people ask us, well, how do you send out all those videos, and how do you send out those CDs, and how do you, or cassette tapes back then, and VHS tapes back then, and how do you do this? I mean, how are you able to do all this? And he said, compared to this other church over here that was taking in about $3 million a year, he didn't want that other church to find out how little we were. I'm not making this stuff. I'm telling you the truth here. You know, I heard that and I thought, wait a minute, what is this all about? I thought our commission was to go ye therefore into all the world. I don't care what we look like. You know, whether it's $50,000 or $1 million, what's this concern about? I mean, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's what we're about. Forget about what this other person thinks. This other ministry, it was another ministry in the Church of God. And we don't want them, that's the reason we're not sending out the financial statement, to find out that we only take in $50,000 a year. Now, I'm illustrating ego, okay? You know what that is. It's a good example right there. Now, and I tell you that so that you can make a good judgment call when you come across stuff like this. It's critical to have that. Now, hindsight 2020, I basically had maybe two choices at that moment. To say, one, to confront the ego. Remember, ego flies below the radar. People don't see it in themselves. One would be to confront it and say, man, you know, I think your ego's getting away with you there. I mean, why do we care about the comparison here? The one was to confront. The other was, hindsight 2020, was for me to realize that at that moment, that church was going nowhere. Ego stops. It might have started out as inspiration, but once the ego takes over, you might as well get out. It's not going anywhere. It will not go anywhere. It can't go anywhere. That's what I want us to understand, that until we identify our own ego, God can't do anything with us. Nothing. He'd like to. He wants to. So the big question is, are you being driven by ego or inspiration? Anything you want to do, have you ever thought about something you might want to do for God? You know, is it inspiration that's coming from God, or is it your ego? And often what happens is it can start out as inspiration, but then the ego takes over. You can have, do, or be anything God wants you to be if there are no limitations. The limitation is ego. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 6 and verse 22. I want to point out something here that I think often is misunderstood, but the complication of our ego. We really complicate things. That's Matthew 6 and verse 22. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light." And I'm just going to stop there. If your eye be single, that's the word single. The word single means not double, not complicated. It's a single thread. A single strand of rope, untwined. The life of ego is, if you ever had a ball of twine and you sort of, somebody's gotten into it and they sort of twisting around and you've got all these knots in it and you can't get it, that's sort of the complication of a life of ego. But what we are to have is a single thread. Your life is to be simple, very simple. A single thread is what we're after. In every moment, you are either coming from memory, past experiences, programs, toxic energy, toxic emotion. At every moment, you are coming from either you, ego, or inspiration from God. Inspiration is from God. And a lot of that programming, past experiences, toxic energy. Someone said that the goal is to achieve what is called a zero limits. That's where you clear all limits, release all release the negative, and clear all memories. And that's a sermon in itself, those three points. You know, you want to go back and you want to clear, release, clean all memories. I talked a little bit about the release technique that I learned. And I told a story about how I obsess on things, and things get to me, and I can't let things go a lot of times. And the release technique has really helped me to just let things go. I told the story about some of our workers were eating underneath a shade tree in someone's yard. We were working on the house here, the yard was here, and the homeowner who owned the shade tree, he didn't like the Hispanic workers eating underneath his tree. And he told them to leave. And the guy, you know, one of our guys came up and said, well, the guy next door told us to leave. And I started obsessing on that. I thought, well, what's going on here? Why would they, what's wrong with a few Mexicans eating in your, underneath your, using your shade tree, you know, whatever. And I said, David, it doesn't matter. Release it. Let it go. Let it go. And so the release technique is something that's helped me. You go into an imaginary room. You feel the energy, the anger, the resentment. You feel it, and you just imagine an imaginary window, and you just open that window and let it go. Let that energy, let that feeling, let that emotion go. It's been very helpful for me, very helpful, because I do obsess on things. I watched the Terminator movie, watched it for 3 months in my mind, over and over again. Could not let it go until every avenue was figured out. Oh, boy. Okay. So, you want to get to the point where there's no program running you, no beliefs, no limiting beliefs, no memories holding you back. no toxic energy, no toxic emotion, no ego driving you. And as I told the story about the minister who said that we don't want that other organization finding out how little bit of money we make, you know, I realized that there was a background there going on of a program that was running him. We could even go back to childhood and say, okay, what's going on? What's causing him to feel like I got to be the big cheese? You know, and there's stuff going on in your system, in your programs. There's energy there. There's memories holding you back. And all of that evolves into ego that's driving us, often in the wrong way. You can have, do, or be anything that God wants you to be if there are no limits. Are you being driven by ego or inspiration? Now, I want to use myself as an example here that, you know, when I believe God called me to serve, I have, and I believe it's inspiration, that it was God. You know, it inspired me to do what I do because I didn't want to do it. That's one of the ways I tell, you know. That's one of the ways you tell, you know. That's the last thing I want to do. And so the money, the finances, the everything clicked into place to be able to do this. And I told the story about driving out to Tyler, Texas, thinking, what am I doing going out here? I don't need to be going out here. I don't want to go out here. But it was a power, you know, an inspiration beyond myself that enabled me to do that. But what happens is, you know, it starts out as inspiration, but as you develop some confidence, ego can take over. You know, and look, it's easy to trust God when you're going through uncharted territory. That's nothing. Trust in the Lord of all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It's easy to do it when you're going through uncharted territory. You have no other option but to trust God. And I sure wasn't about to lean my own understanding of the ministry when I first got into it. I didn't know anything about it. Didn't want to know anything about it. The ego takes over as your confidence builds. You go to college and you think, boy, I've never been to college. This is a new experience. And I'm going to trust God. And after about a year, you start thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty, you know, I got it all down pat. I know what I'm doing here, you know. I'm angry at what the college is telling me now. You start a new business. You borrow $100,000. You have no other choice but to trust God. And after it starts to develop and you start to make some money, your confidence starts to build and the ego takes over. Now it's about me. It's about my business, my success. You know, it's a powerful concept. Now, living from the other side, inspiration. When you follow the inspiration, your life becomes easy. Want to flow. Inspiration is where the glory, peace, bliss, joy, happiness, creativity is. Inspiration guides your way so that you are living your particular calling. That's what you want, you know, inspiration, to follow that inspiration and not let the ego get in the way. There was a song by Tanya Tucker. I don't like country music, so I don't know why I like it. This song is in my head, but if it don't come easy, you better let it go. Because if it don't come easy, it's no natural flow. Don't make it hard on your heart. If it don't come easy, you better let it go. You know, inspiration, while, you know, there's work in everything, but there are things that click together when it's inspired. And the ego often forces things. You ever know that? It forces things. When you start forcing things, it's time to drop back and punt, as they say. Why? Forcing. Make this thing work. The toughest part for me is letting go and letting God. I'm in the process of doing that right now. It's tough. It's very tough because as I think a lot of things started out as inspired work that I'm doing or did for the church, and I think the ego took over. I mean, you know, I I manage 3 web pages. I used to do a magazine. Now I'm trying to do cable TV, and is that really in the Bible? I mail out literature on a pretty regularly basis. I do weekly sermons. And I have a full-time job. And I've been able to say, look, and I thought, you know, it's really not fair to the company or to Ronnie. What I get paid for, I don't get paid to do web pages. I don't get paid to do magazines. I don't get paid to do, is that really in the Bible? I don't get paid to do mail out literature or weekly sermons or anything like that. And so it wasn't fair in the sense that, you know, I got to do what I get paid for. It's not right for me to be fair to the company, to be fair to Ronnie. I need to earn, you know, what I get a paycheck for. And so I'm in the process of letting this stuff go. Now, the weekly sermons are no problem. It doesn't take that time. The inspiration is there. And, you know, that's... And the thing about it, this is really strange. I've been trying to just, okay, let go. Okay, a lot of these things I felt I had to do for God, my ego was making my life miserable. Because it was like, I got to do this. I get home and I got to do this, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and that, and that, and that. And it was making my life miserable. God comes along and says, I mean, look, I didn't ask you to do all this stuff. Well, you know, maybe, but I'm in a learning process here. What's really been strange is that since I've been able, in the process of letting go, I've started to enjoy my work more. I told Ronnie a month ago I hate my work. I was out there with the guys actually installing stone last week. I thought, this is not bad. I'm sort of liking it. You know, I think it's strange. I'm able to come home and enjoy the warmth of a wood stove and just sit by it. And every now and then I'll open up the door and just look at the flame. I'm just some simplistic stuff here, but actually able to enjoy this. Home, my wife. I always enjoy my wife, but you know what I mean. But, you know, here's what I've come to. If God wants me to do these things, He's big enough to make it happen. He's big enough for the finances. He's big enough for the time that will be available. If He wants me to quit my job, I mean, He's big enough to make this stuff happen. So I don't worry about it. Leave it up to Him. Trusting the inspiration. But you see what I mean? Trusting that inspiration, letting go is hard. When your ego is sort of taken over. And I got to do this, and I need to do that, and I should be doing that. And you know, what I noticed that the more the ego takes over, it's not about people. You're not that concerned. You know, it's really not about all those people out there. It's about you. It's about you. Now, whatever age you are is the maturity level of your ego. We like to think, okay, ego, you know, yeah, I got a little problem with that. You know, last year I was struggling with it a little bit. But no, in order to understand ego, we got to go all the way back. Let me show you how far we got to go back. In order to understand, you know, my opinion was last week, if you received the Holy Spirit of God at a fairly young age, and if someone come along and told you how to identify your ego, like I'm doing today, at about age 70, you'll start to conquer the ego. That's my opinion. But I hope to tell you how to... Yeah, I think his batteries are dead here. Oh, here we go. Okay. So in order to understand the ego, we have to go back to the very beginning. We come into the world and we say, great job, God. Now I'll take over. I'll take over from here. What the ego teaches us from the get-go. Number one, who we are is what we have. That's what your ego teaches you right from the get-go. Who we are is what we have. Our values is to determine by what we have. The ego says more, more, more. I got to have more, more, more. I must have in order to be happy, which is a form of insanity. You already know that's true. You get something that you want, and you're thinking, this is going to make me happy. It's not. It's only a little bit of time before you realize, no, it didn't work. Who we are is what we have. What we have. And, you know, someone said this. If I am what I have, get this. If I am what I have, then when I don't have, I'm not. You see the trap? When all this junk disappears, then I'm not. I'm not what I thought I was. I mean, self-worth. Where do you find your self-worth? Now, you know, you ever met people that, like a hoarder, hoarding, people that hoard stuff? I was in a Big Lot one time, and it was a looked like a bag lady pushing a cart. And as she went by, the smell of urine. And she had this cart full of little trinkets that each one probably didn't cost over $2 or $3, but it was full, just junk, just getting junk. And, you know, I know we can say, well, I grew up in the Great Depression and I hold on to everything, but I have a feeling that one's value can be placed in things, especially if you did without. This is where I get my value. But this is what the ego teaches us. America teaches us in every conceptual level that who we are is what we have. Did you know the ego, your ego would be trained differently if you had not been if you had been reared in another country? Now this is fascinating. It's almost as if America is the ego builder. If you had been reared in a country where you were hungry, I mean, there was no college, no education, we wouldn't have this ego problem, at least not as much. It's only in America that it builds the ego, gives our ego wings to soar. So who am I is what I have accumulated, is sort of the idea. And you know, to let go of the attachments, not that you have to let go of your stuff, but the attachment and the value it's giving you, the attachment to it is what we try to let go of. Okay, the second thing the ego teaches us is, who am I? Who I am is what I do. Who I am is what I do. We think if I don't accomplish something, we're not valuable. You ever thought about the fact that you are valuable because you exist? That's a shocking statement, by the way. I'm here and I am valuable. Created in the image of God. The ego comes along and says, well, Who I am is what I do. And I know, you know, it's sort of like we give this idea in our society that you're only valuable if you accomplish more, if you're better than. And there's nothing wrong with bettering yourself, but what goes underneath the radar is our ego. I remember when I was building a home, I was about age 22, and I was grateful for the home that we were building. And then I found that ego kicked in. I started thinking, you know, I'm sort of young, 22. I'm building a home. Not everybody's building a home. And I was able to smash that by God's grace. I was able to say, okay, David, get it under control. That's your ego kicking in. Be grateful, but don't think of yourself as better than. Don't feel superior because you're building a home. Ego, an exaggerated sense of your own importance and feeling superior to other people. The third thing that the ego teaches us is depend on nobody but yourself. Depend on nobody but yourself. My dependency on me. As a young boy, a young teenage boy, I wanted a motorcycle. And my father said, well, he'll co-sign for me. Can you make the payments? And I said, yeah, I can make the payments. And there was an idea that developed very early in my life that if I wanted something, I could get it. And if I didn't get it, it was because I didn't want it bad enough. And I lived with that for all of my life, actually. But I thought about that, and the thinking is, you know, my might, my power, I would get whatever I wanted. Because I've been programmed to trust me to get whatever I want. Trust in the Lord of all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. The fourth thing the ego teaches us is who I am is what other people think of me. Who I am is what others think of me. Now, we think about this. Now, okay, we got four areas. Who we are is what we have. Who I am is what I do. Depend on nobody but yourself. And who I am is what other people think of me. And this is the absolute amazing thing. Is, if I can get this right, you came from a place, right here, where you had nothing, you had to do nothing, you were dependent solely on your parents, God, you want to call it like that, and there was no one else to judge you. That's where you came from. That's where you came from. You had nothing. You had to do nothing. You were dependent solely on your parents, and there was no one else to judge you. You know what Jesus said about this? He said, except you become like little children, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You ever thought about that? Maybe he was referring to the ego when he said that. You will not enter the kingdom of God except you become like little children. You have to become independent of the good opinions of others. In other words, there's no one else ruling your life. You have to become independent of the good opinions of others. You see, the ego is totally dependent on the good opinions of others. It really is. You know, people say, well, I like that sermon, and I'm grateful for that. But I have to be independent of the good opinions, whether they love it or hate it. You have to be independent of the good opinions or the bad opinions of others. E.E. Cummings, he was a poet that passed away in 1962, said this. He said, to be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you like everybody else means to fight the greatest battle there is to fight and never stop fighting. It's fascinating. I love that statement. To be nobody but yourself. What keeps marriages from working? Ego. What keeps your business from being successful? Ego. What keeps you from the power of God? Ego. What keeps your prayers from being answered? Ego. What keeps us from the power of sin in our personal life being destroyed? What keeps us from overcoming our sins? And, you know, one of the things, it's critical to understand this, that to be able to identify when the ego is involved. You know, I mentioned that I served a church for 10 years. And one of the ministers there, when I finally left, began to, I think, speak in tongues. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, speaking in tongues, hey, that's a sign. We're going to go into other nations and communicate with those people. That's what it's all about, by the way. But before long, a quick transition was made to I speak for God, and God is speaking through me. And the guy went on to maybe try to write his own Bible or something. I don't know. Words that he was claiming to come directly from God. I speak for God. One of the things you always want to do in evaluating people, preachers, whatever, is ask yourself, okay, is he coming from inspiration or ego? You always want to ask yourself that. You know, in a person, you know, I speak for God, it's pretty easy to realize that this is ego. And but you need to ask yourself that question as you evaluate teachers and preachers and other people. Is he coming from inspiration or ego? Now, my question that I have not answered is this. Can the ego be used to God's glory? You know, it seems like such a natural thing that we have. You know, you wonder, okay, it's so natural, I just wonder if it can't be used for God's glory. Now, again, keep in mind, if you had been reared in another country, much of what I'm talking about, I might not even need to talk about it, the ego. But an exaggerated sense of your own importance, a feeling of superiority to other people. You know, there's a lot of things that are ego-based. The desire to look good. It's ego-based, but it depends on your motive for why you want to look good. You want to get a better paying job? You want to build your confidence? There's nothing wrong with that. Zig Ziglar tells a story about his daughter had these ears that sort of, I guess, stuck out, maybe, you know. And she didn't like her ears. And Zig said, well, I can fix that. He said, the doctors can fix that. They'll just tack them back. He says, it's a simple operation. He said, simple but not cheap. So she had the operation and said that it boosted her self-confidence. Said that now, before she would hide her ears. Now she had her hair pulled back over her ears and she liked her ears. And so, you know, I love the statement by that I think a minister said that trying to look better or whatever. He said, I know what it was. It was they were talking about should women wear makeup. There's a big deal going on about makeup. And one minister said, even old barn looks better with a fresh coat of paint on it. And, I love that statement. You can improve anything. Why do I wash my lawnmower? Why do I wash my car? Why do I do all that crazy stuff? I'm wanting it to look good. You can improve on anything. So, but again, can the ego be used to God's glory is the thing I keep, questioning here. I was watching a documentary on the Bee Gees, and they said that they thought it was three things they needed to have to be successful as a group. Number one, the desire to impress people, the desire to be good, and the desire for approval. And as I listened to that, I thought, that's ego-based. It's got to be, And if you were probably to say to them, well, your ego got you to where you are, they'd probably say, yes, it did. Absolutely. It was fascinating that I watched a later interview with Barry Gibb. He said, and he's much older now. He said, you spend your first half of your life with this. You want to impress. You want people to like your albums. You want people to buy them. You try to impress people. You try this desire for approval. He said, you spend your first half of your life trying to get there, to be successful, and then you spend the other half running away from it. He said, you can't answer your phone. You can't go out to a restaurant. He said, people follow you around. They want your autograph. They want to talk to you. And I thought, the ego trap. The trap of the ego. Now, I know, this I do know. I asked, can the ego be used to God's glory? One thing I do know, God can use you in spite of your ego. He's pretty powerful, So in spite of your ego, he can use you. Greg mentioned in his message, and something that I've thought about for a long time, the success and growth of the church back then from 60 or before that to through 1976 maybe. And, I think which basically came about, one of the things that brought that about was an icon. It came about by one man's dynamic, charismatic, ego-based personality. If I may say that. Ego-based personality. And the question I think is, did that ego serve a greater cause? Did it serve a greater cause? Do you know what you get when you use, now here's a question, a trick question. Well, no, it's not a trick question. It's a very good question. Do you know what you get when you use a dynamic, charismatic, ego-based personality to draw people into the church? Guess what you get? You get groupies. I looked up that definition. I didn't know what it was. I thought, okay, it's adoring fans. Enthusiastic fans. That's what you get. As I consider what happened to the Church of God and people leaving the church, I don't believe you can leave the Church of God once you're in it. As far as the body of Christ, I don't think you leave it. As I look at the church today, the dissolving, being spewed out, as Greg mentioned, I really question the statement, can the ego be used to God's glory? You know, success does not destroy us. Success does not destroy a church. Money does not destroy a church. Power does not destroy people or a church. Fame does not destroy people or a church. Fame is just recognition. That's all it is. It is the ego of man. That's what destroys. It's when the ego takes these areas, success, fame, money, power, that's what destroys. Beyond our ego, beyond our ego is a world that we can only imagine. Beyond our ego is a life that we've only dreamed about so far. Beyond our ego is power that we've never experienced. Beyond our ego is joy everlasting. Beyond our ego is peace that we have never experienced. Beyond our ego is real love and respect. Beyond our ego is God. And we will not see God until we have identified and humbled the ego. Like human nature, the ego is simply something that we must overcome. We must go into the subconscious mind where the ego flies below the radar and identify it in our consciousness. We must bring our ego up to the conscious level. Wayne Dyer on the subject of ego said this. He said, "You can either be a host to God or a hostage to your ego." A hostage to your ego. In conclusion, I want to mention that there is a real danger in the Church of God. I mentioned that. I really don't tell people I'm part of the Church of God anymore. If someone asks, I'm part of a Christian fellowship group. Definition, human beings trying to draw closer to God through Jesus Christ. The reason I don't tell people I'm part of the Church of God is I'm trying to squash this ego. I'm trying to beat it down, stamp it down, you know. And all religion, believe it or not, is ego-based. Religion is, the reason I say that is because human beings are involved in this. Therefore, it is all ego-based. In other words, all religions say, we're the one. All religions say, well, there's outsiders out there, and we're on the inside. And for us, well, we have the truth. We're the Church of God. We are the church that Jesus Christ built. And you know, this ego thing, let me give you a little example. You can say, well, I keep the Sabbath because that's what God's church does. Jesus kept it, and that's why I keep it. Or you can say, in my desire to draw closer to God, I have found out in my personal life that if I keep the Sabbath, it actually enables me to have a closer relationship with Him. You see the difference between the two? One is ego-based. The other is the ego has been stripped, naked. And there's a big difference between the two. And being able to identify the two in your life is critical. Critical. Have you ever said these words? Well, if that's conversion, maybe you've been to a feast. Maybe you've been around in different churches. Maybe someone sent you an email. Someone said this. Maybe someone actually did do something to you personally and said this and said that. And you sort of said to yourself, if that's conversion, and I'm missing something. I must have overlooked something if that's conversion. And it's strange, in the church, I have found some common denominators. Sabbath keeping, holy day keeping, dietary laws. Nothing wrong with those areas. But those stick out as very common denominators, very powerful. But sharing those three denominators is not conversion. It's not conversion. The word ego, E-G-O, If you look at each letter, it means to edge God out. To edge God out. And when you edge God out, all you're left with is some common denominators and a whole lot of ego. I know that's harsh. You can have, do, or be anything God wants you to be. And I believe God wants to, I mean, I think it's something beyond our wildest dream is what God wants from each one of us here. You can have, be, or do anything that God wants you to be if there are no limits. You are being driven by ego or inspiration. And you can be either a host to God or a hostage to your ego. And the choice is yours.